Come on. God is good. Woo!
That song, just the whole song is so good. But even just that part, if you are going through a rough time and you just are having a hard time and you feel like the world is coming against you, just start singing this over yourself. He is for me, He is for me, He is for me, He is for me, He is for me. Who can be against me? Because He is for me. Somebody cuts you off in traffic and you're on your way somewhere and you're late. He is for me. He is for me. He is for me. He is for me. People are out to attack your personality. He is for me. 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 Someone is slandering your name. He is for me. He is for me. He is for me. He is for me. Someone steals all the money out of your bank account. He is for me. 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 And you know what? If God is for you, He's not going to forsake you. If God is for you, He is not leaving you high and dry. If God is for you, you're going to get to your destination. You're going to get to where He wants you to go as long as you're following the steps to get there that He has laid before you, because He is for me. 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 Devil, get behind me. Get out of the way, because He is for me. And if He is for me, you don't stand a chance. You don't stand a chance. You could try to use feelings against me, but you don't stand a chance because He is for me. Sometimes we've got to tell our feelings to shut up. They're just feelings. They'll change. Shut up, feelings, because you know what? He is for me. 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 There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no valley that I can't get through. Because He is for me. He is for me. When I am in my highest, He is for me. When I am in my lowest, He is for me. 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 He's for you too. You claim that over yourself when you're going through a rough time. He is for me. Write it backwards on your forehead if you need to, so you see it every time you look in the mirror. He is for me. He is for me. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to do this a little backwards because I feel like I need to. We're going to pray over the offering. The Spirit is so strong up here. I don't want to break it up. Dear Lord, we thank You so much today. We have so much to be thankful for. You are for us. Whew, You are for us. If nothing else, that would be enough to be thankful for. You are for us. Thank You, Father. When You're teaching in your word, when You taught Your apostles how to pray, it said to give thanks first. So we give thanks for all that we have, for the air that we breathe, for the provision that You've given to us thus far. And we thank You for our daily bread. We thank You for the provision that You're going to provide for us for today, for tomorrow, for the next day. And we're not looking around at all of the sources or all of the resources. We're looking at You as our source, not at the resources around us, because we know that You are for us and You will provide. We worship You. We honor You. We give You thanks this morning. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's do the verse. Trust in the Lord completely. And do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on Him to guide you. And He will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with Him, in whatever you do, and He will lead you wherever you go. God is so good. He is so, so good. In the back, we have two buckets for offering. The white bucket is just a regular offering. The silver U.S. mail bucket is for pastor appreciation. Normally, we try to do something sneaky and then bless Pastor and Renita all at once, but because of COVID, just everything's out the window. So we're not doing it sneaky this year. If you would like to bless them, it's not required. They are here to serve us, and they do it so selflessly all the time. If you would like to bless them, go ahead. If not, that's not what they're here for. So it's funny. I want to share just a very quick story. My daughter has been incredible, by the way. She gets here early with us, and she sets up kids' church every Sunday. She does a really good job, but she was getting a little cranky. She was the only one helping clean up. She felt like feelings can lie to you, but she felt like that, and she was getting cranky. And my dad said, you know what? Even if it was just me here every morning setting up and every evening tearing down, that would be okay, because I'm doing it as a service to the Lord. It doesn't matter what everyone else is doing. It matters what I'm doing. And it's my heart and my choice to serve the Lord. Not that we don't appreciate it. All help is appreciated. Don't get me wrong. But it makes it so, that's just so His heart, though. I know you don't like it when I brag on you, but tough. So, anyway. So, I wanted to talk real quick. We don't have a specific definitive date yet, but we are planning something for a Christmas banquet. We'll probably do it here, so just be praying about what you'd want to do for that. So we'll probably have it here. We're going to see if we can just have the church for the whole day. We'll do it a Sunday in the evening, and we'll just stay and cook our hearts out. It's going to be fun. So do we have any other announcements? Yeah, we do. Okay. Okay, I have one more announcement. The youth group is doing fundraisers. So, yes, I said fun, not fund, although they are fundraisers too. In the back, all the kids are going to be like making things and doing different things like that. We can't really do much with COVID being the way it is, but out by the coffee, we're just going to have a table set out with little things, trinkets that you can buy, and there's a box back there, and if you'd like to support the youth group, go ahead and grab something and put some donation in the box. Hi there. I know, it's like we never see each other, huh? So, we're revamping Kids Church again. And it's been a couple of years, and the Lord has put it on our hearts to do things a little bit differently. Miss Marcy has been such a blessing, and the Lord has called her on to do some different things. And so anyway, Roslyn has had it on her heart to start teaching Kids Church, and so I am her helper. And we get to do that together, and it's been a lot of fun. But we need more helpers. And what we're going to do is we're going to break our class up into, like, little 10-minute segments. And so Rosalind and I will do the Sunday school lesson. And then if we could get somebody to come and help with the craft that we already have all set up, if we could get somebody to come and sing some songs with them every now and then, and you know, and somebody to come in and do playtime with them every now and then. And just about, you know, 10 minutes a month. If you could give 10 minutes a month to your kids, that would be a blessing to them, and it would be a blessing to me and Rosalind as well. Right, Rosalind? Yes, big thumbs up. Especially if somebody wants to give 10 minutes to, like, you know, clean up after the craft. That would be great. So, awesome. All right. We got our first win. Okay, Pastor Bruce.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Come on, God is here, amen? God is in this place. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11. The last few weeks, and this will be the last in the series, but we've been talking about hope. I've often thought about, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that then there remains faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And we've talked a lot about love and a lot about faith, but hope's just kind of hanging there. But I found out that hope is really important. In fact, as we go to our verse, it says, now faith, come on, is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things. See, if you don't have hope, then you have no foundation for faith. Let me say that again. If you don't have hope, then you have no foundation for faith. And there's a lot of people in our society and in the church that have no hope. I've said this before, but I believe that 95% of suicides are because hope is gone. If they could rekindle hope, there would be no need for suicide. Right? Come on. So hope's important. And again, hope is not a wish. It's not, well, I'm just a hoping and a praying. What they're saying, I wish something would happen, but I'm not sure if it's going to happen. That's not hope, that's a wish. But hope is an expectation that based on what God has said, He'll do. Right? My hope is in Him. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus is our great hope. Whew, glory to God. Glory to God. I'm not wishing He'd come back. My hope is in that He's coming back because He said He was. Right? Are you with me? And again, we said that the first step or the first principle of hope is that you got to have vision. You got to have a dream. Too many of us have either forgot our dream, lost our dream, or quit dreaming. Well, you know, I'm this age, or I'm this, or I'm that, or the society is this way, or that. You know, without a dream, you have no hope. But a dream in itself is just a wish. Once you have a dream, you've got to start going on a pathway to reach that dream. Right? And if you go down one path and it doesn't seem to be working out, you don't quit on your dream or your goal. You back up and you take another path. So I don't care if it's been 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. I refuse to give up on the dream. I refuse to give up on the vision. I refuse. Why? Because my hope is in Him and He's the one that gave me the dream in the first place. So we need to teach our children and our grandchildren about hope, about setting some goals and looking for pathways to get the goals, and then teach them not to be discouraged when it doesn't happen right away. And the third step or the third part of hope is you got to have a vision, you got to have a pathway to get there. But the third part is you got to have a will to see that it's going to come to pass. You got to have a will. Come on. You got to be strong in your will. Go to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to look at a few scriptures today. I heard a growth seminar thing not too long ago that said, listen, in today's society, you can't use more than 4 verses in any sermon. And I thought to myself, what? Well, then I'm out. I'm out because I'm going to use a lot more than that. I may just use 1, but I'm not going to be limited. Why? Because it's His Word. Yes. We'd be blessed if all I did is come up here and read the Word for 20, 30 minutes and then say, that's it. Why? Because it's alive. It's powerful. Come on. So first of all, what dream has God put inside of you? And what pathways have you run to achieve that? And the third part of that is Have you lost your will for that to come to pass? Come on. Isaiah chapter 1 and look at verse 19. Isaiah 1 and verse 19. Well, let's read 18 and get into it. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they are white as snow. They shall be as white as snow. Though they are like crimson red, they shall be as wool. How many know that was that prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus went on the cross? Come on. Even though our sins were as scarlet and they were against us, Jesus made them white as snow. Come on. There's no shame. There's no shame. You have nothing to be ashamed of because your sin has been forgiven. One of the greatest revelation of heaven is that there's no shame there. Zip, zilch. And yet we live behind the eyes that we see through, and we look in the mirror and all we can see is shame over us. Come on, if Jesus was here, He'd say there is no shame. Okay, look at verse 19. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you are willing and obedient. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you are willing and obedient. Come on. You got to have the twins, right? I'm obedient, but are you willing? Right? And it's the willing part that I want to talk about, but not just willing in the standpoint that I will do it, but in the stance that I'm making a stand and I'm placing my will in what God has said. In other words, I'm going to see it come to pass. I'm going to stand until the end. You know, there's many statements in the book of Revelation, and Jesus said, he who endures till the end shall be saved. Right? He who endures till the end. I've determined I'm going to be one of the endurers. And so when we're talking about will here, we're talking about not only my decision to go forward, but I am going to endure and keep on enduring no matter what happens. And when this is put together with hope, it says, listen, I will not allow myself to shrink back from what God has spoken to me. My will is I'm going to stay in the middle of the fight no matter what. Amen. Come on, come on, come on. God is with us. God is for us. God is the one who has called us. Look at your will. Come on, this is so important. Your will is the thing that says yes in the beginning and no to stopping. Let me say that again. Your will is the one that says yes in the beginning, and once it says yes, then there's no stopping. Come on. You know, the Bible says, seek the Lord that he may be found. And it's not like he's trying to hide himself, right? But how is your willing? If you really want the Lord's presence and you seem to be missing it, then where is your will or your willingness to stand until he shows up? Here's what we do is we let our feelings dictate where we're going to go. When we should stick our will in the middle of all of that and say, I don't care how I feel. The Bible has said such and such, and I'm going to stand until I get it. What does it say in Ephesians? Having done all to stand, stand therefore. See, that's your will in place. So you've got a dream, you've got a vision, you've got a goal, and you're starting down some paths, and things don't seem to be going smoothly as you thought they would. Are you going to quit? Or are you going to be willing to go forward? Come on, have you set? Come on, don't let no come into the equation. It's like the man of old who was wrestling with the angel and grabbed a hold of his garment and said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. The angel said, man, it's time. I got to get out of here. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. My will is so strong and so determined that I will not let you go. What has God put on your heart? What has He put for your family, your prayers? Are you willing to stick it out? Because there's a dream inside. Many dreams are lost because the will is expired. Come on. Now let's go a little further. Go to Matthew chapter 21. The Gospel of Matthew in the 21st chapter. And we'll look at this. It's kind of interesting. And Jesus was kind of, the Pharisees were kind of trying to trick Him and whatever. And in verse 27, so He answered, they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. And He said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But watch what He goes on to say. But what do you think? A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go and work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. And then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, go, sir. I go, sir. But he did not. Which of the two did the will of his father? It's the one who did it, not the one who talked about it. Right? Where we want God's will. How many want God's will in their life? Right? It's my will to do your will, O Lord. Right? I mean, that's it. So, but how determined are you to press through for that no matter what circumstances face you? Right? I will bless you, O Lord, when everything is going right. But as soon as it's not, I'm going to stop. Right? Right? And then I'm going to start blaming you because you didn't act like I thought you should act. It didn't come in the timing that I thought it should come in. I'm going to whine and complain. You see, you have to get your will and get your mind focused and set like flint. I'm headed to where I'm going. Right? God has spoken. God has either spoken through His Word, I have a promise on it, or He's put a vision or a dream in my heart, and I'm going to go for it no matter what it takes. Now, this doesn't have to just do with spiritual things. It has to do with every area, spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body. I've got a vision. I've got a dream. God has put it on my heart to accomplish something, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Many people, it's amazing. You find people where the doctors have said, you'll never do that. You'll never be able to do that. You'll never walk again. You'll never talk again. You'll never preach again. You'll never sing again. But inside of them, they went, nope, 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 nope. I understand you're trying to tell me the truth, and the truth as you know it, but I have something that supersedes your truth. I have a hope in me that's bigger than what you're saying. I thank you for your expertise. I thank you for everything that you're trying to tell me. But I am telling you that my God has spoken to me and said, I will rise again. Right? I will work again. I will preach again. I will walk again. I will. And so when it's hard, when it doesn't seem like anything that's going your way, you've decided that my dream is to do this. And so my will is going to push me through the pain. My will is going to push me through the disappointment. My yes is going to push me through your no. Come on. Come on. What is the dream? What's the purpose? What do you have in your heart? Oftentimes we expect God to do something, but we don't have a will to do it. And so if it doesn't happen, we blame God. when God is saying, man, I've done my part. You haven't even begun to do your part. Right? We've got to become tough in the promises of God. We've got to become determined in the promises of God. Come on. And where God has said something, Lord, I'm going to do it no matter what. Now watch, this is really interesting. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians, the second chapter. This is so awesome. Did you know that God has done everything that's necessary? He's worked everything out for you to be able to fulfill the promises that He's put in your heart. Or the goals that He's put in your heart. Or the dreams that He's put in your heart. Yeah, but that was 20 years ago. That was 30 years ago. That was... Well, God didn't fall off the throne. Right? Hallelujah. It's time for us to get up and say, okay, God. It's really interesting. Well, let's read this and I'll tell you the story. 2:13. No, let's go to verse 12 first, because I think the context is kind of important. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And people will jump up and say, yes, yes, you're saved, but you've got to work out your salvation. In other words, if you don't do what's right, your salvation is going to be lost. Well, I got a little problem with that. Because of verse 13. Watch verse 13. It says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. God is working on you on the inside to help you with your will so that you can do what He wants you to do. We're not even alone where our will is concerned. If we'll seek God and allow Him to be the source of the power that we need to stay willing. Amen. Even when you're weary, you need to run to Him. Right? You need to run to Him. Yes, Lord. Lord, I mean, you can be honest with Him. Lord, man, I'm tired today. I just feel like I'm lost today. But Lord, I'm going to look to You. I'm going to praise You. I'm going to worship You, God. Because it's in You that we move and that we live and that we have our being. It's in You. And God, You're inside of me. You're not only put the dream inside of me, but You put the power inside of me to be able to walk out the dream that You've given to me. God knew when He gave you the word, gave you the dream, gave you, put that impression on your heart. And listen, it doesn't have to just be something spiritual. He may put a business on your heart. He may put something else on your heart. He may have given you some family things, some other things to do. And you go, oh, but God, I should have done that when I was 20. Well, is your will keeping you from pursuing? Then you need to change your will. You need to change your will. God, You put it in my heart to do it, and I refuse to give up on it. Come on. And there's some very important things at stake right now with our families, with our country. Lord, I've been interceding for our country for 12 years, and it seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse. What have you been interceding for? For God to do something in our country. Are you going to give up on that because of what CNN or one of the news outlets shows you? Or are you going to shut that off and get into your closet and say, Lord, I refuse to give up. I refuse to quit. I'm going to continue to pray. Come on. Does prayer still work?
Yes.
Then why have you quit praying? Right? If prayer still works and you know that God is moving and He's put promises on your heart, then why have we stopped praying? It's because our will to do it hasn't been as strong as the resistance against it. Are you with me? I'm not saying this to put you under condemnation. I'm saying this to pick you back up and say, wait a minute, I lost sight of some things, and I'm going to pick it right back up right now. God, forgive me for slacking off. Forgive me for doubting. Forgive me. But my hope is in you, God. You said it, God. I refuse to give up on the dream. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And did you know that some dreams are generational? In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about some of them died without ever seeing the dream realized. But it didn't mean it didn't come to pass. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Lord, my hope is in you. I'm trusting you. I'm trusting you. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And this is right after what I just talked to you about. God so much wants you to pick up your dream again. God wants you not to give up, not to quit. It may not have worked out the exact way that you thought it should, but don't let your hope die. Say, God, it may not work that way, but I'm going to run at it again. Because I refuse to quit. I refuse to give up. Well, let's go back up into chapter 3. It talks about people going through all kinds of things, and yet they stayed steady. Verse 38, it says, "Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the desert, in the mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us put aside every weight and every sin which also so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." What's he saying? He said, man, all these people that you might idolize, they went through some stuff. They might have been tortured. They might have been, put out from families. They may have gone through, but they kept going. And their endurance let them see the fulfillment of their promise. They didn't see it on earth. You know, in the Bible where it says that Jesus led captivity captive? Watch this. All of those Old Testament saints that couldn't go to heaven yet because Jesus hadn't paid the price for them, they were in paradise. Jesus went down there and said, "I did it. I did it." The thing that you were expecting, the thing that you were hoping, the Messiah that you were looking for, I did it. And they said, "Woo, glory to God. I'm on my way to heaven and the going just gets better every day. I'm walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way." Come on. They said, "Woo, there he is. I didn't see it while I was alive, but my hope did not die with death. My hope remains and continues on." So some of our dreams and visions may be beyond us or for the next generation or for something else, but my prayers are not in vain, for they will accomplish the thing that God put in my heart to pray for. Come on. Woo. Look at, let us run with endurance. See, part of your will has to be endurance. What does endurance mean? It means I'm going for it. I'm going for it. Some of our endurance, we're out of shape. Right? Right? Just, you might have been able to, years ago, say, "Well, you know, I'm going to go on a hike Saturday." "Well, how many miles?" "Well, I think it's about 7 miles." and it's on switchbacks going up a hill, it's no problem. I'm in shape to do that. What are you saying? I can endure the pressure that's against me because I'm continually walking in shape and be able to do it. But if you haven't been enduring for a while, you haven't been walking for a while, you haven't been climbing for a while, then your endurance is not strong enough necessarily to run the race. Many of us have been sitting too long on our hope, and God wants us to build our endurance back up. Come on. Why? Because He's got a prize for us. He's got a plan for us. He's got a purpose for us. We can't let our hope die because we have not endured. Come on. Verse 2. Again, look at this. Let us, verse 1 again, and we're just going to read into verse 2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus, even Jesus, endured everything that was set up against Him because He looked at the hope that was set before Him. What was that hope? That hope was, I'm going to die for the whole earth, for the sin of every boy, girl, man, woman who is ever born or will be born, so that they can one day be in heaven pure and holy without spot or without wrinkle. And it's worth it to me to go to the cross and have to yell in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because you're worth it. Because the vision of what Adam lost was going to be restored to God. What's that? You and me? You and me. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. He is my example. Somebody said you should have mentors, and I believe in that, but He's my main mentor. Jesus is my main mentor. Come on. Verse 3 says, for consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Come on. Anybody been discouraged? I want you to stir yourself up today. I want you to get your will back in the fight and say, Lord, that path might not work, or I might not have it yet, but God, I'm back up on a horse, Lord. I'm going to get back on the horse. I'm riding again. I used to watch a lot of Westerns. Some of you have lived Westerns. Look at Waltz Boots. But look at, watch this. What did they say? If you get knocked off by a horse, get up and get back on him. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't let that horse win. Don't you dare let that horse win, or he will have you. He will own you. It's like, I refuse to stop. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back up. I'm going to do it again. I'm not going to let fear, I'm not going to let pain, I'm not going to let disappointment keep me from the will of God and for God's vision for my life. My hope is in Him. My peace is in Him. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Here's what happens is, God speaks to us, and we get you know, this word from God, or we get a promise of God, and we go, wow, yeah, man, I'm just going to believe God for peace. And then something comes and rocks our world. Well, I guess that didn't work. No, it's working. But you have to endure in order to get to the promise, and your will is involved in your endurance. If you want the hope to produce so that you see the end of the hope, Come on. You've got to continue to dream. You've got to continue to march for it. And you've got to have the tenacity that I refuse to give up. I refuse to give up. I refuse to give up. You see, that is the very thing that your faith can latch onto, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Glory, glory to God. I got a promise. I got a promise. I got a promise. I got a promise. This is what he said. Aren't you glad that your getting to heaven is not determined on how good you are today? Right? Right? Or else we'd be like those people that are going, I think I'm going to heaven, but I lied. I'm not, I don't know if I'm going, but I think but I'm not sure. I'm certain I'm going to heaven. Why? Because I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and His blood has forgiven me of all of my sins. Come on, and it's cleansed me from all my unrighteousness. I'm not going because I deserve to go. I'm going because He paid the price so I could go. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 3. It says, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. He's given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. What does that mean? Everything that you need to fulfill a God-given dream, He's already given to you. Whew, glory to God. But I don't feel it. It's been so long. Why, God, did I have to go through that? Right? Now, you all been there just like me. Verse 4. By which we've been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through those you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I don't know, man, but I don't know about you, but that really, really floats my boat right there. I've been given exceedingly and great and precious promises. They've been given to me. My dreams are based on the promises that He's given to me. Where do I find those promises? I find them in His Word. That's why you reading the Word is so important. Coming to church is great. It's important. But come on, I'm not with you every day. But God is. And He can take one little verse and go, woo, that's what I need for today. That's the promise that I'm going to live in. But listen to what He says, because this blows my mind. That through these, through what? The precious promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature. You are born again. You have the divine nature of God. Amen. Available to you and actually living in you. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence. All diligence. What does that mean? You got to work at something. You got to be on it. You got to continue in it. You cannot let it slip. You have to be diligent about it. What happens at home when you're not diligent to take out the trash? Well, first it piles up. Then it stinks. I thought you took the trash out. That fish is still smelling. You weren't diligent to take out the trash. You got to be on it, right? Come on. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. That means holiness. Be holy. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. perseverance, to perseverance, godliness. See, when your will's involved, you'll persevere. Or you'll endure. Or you'll continue. We've got to become the, I refuse to give up. I refuse to give up. I refuse to give up. Come on, I refuse to give up. I refuse to give up. Come on, time's slipping away. Go to Mark chapter 4. And you'll recognize this. This is the sower and the seed in the ground, and the good ground, bad ground, all that stuff. But look at Mark 4, and we're going to look specifically at verse 17. Mark 4:17, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. See, if you want to receive what God has for you, you cannot stop. You've got to continue. It says, because of these things, they don't endure. They don't continue. They don't persevere. Come on, who are you? Are you an endurer or are you a quitter? Are you a quitter or are you a pursuer of what God has for you? What dream has He put in your heart? What dream? Over and over again, Timothy must have gone through things, because in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, Paul was endure like a good soldier. Continue. He said, look, you don't tangle yourself up in the affairs of life and the things that are pressing against what God has promised you or against your call. You don't go against those things, man. You start to persevere and continue to strive. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't let anything keep you from obeying and doing what God has for you. Again, let me say this. God wants you to become hopeful again. Yes. Your body might tell you something different. Your mind might be telling you something different. Yeah. Your friends might be telling you something different. The doctor might be telling you something different. The banker might be telling you something different, right?
Yes.
All of them are saying you can't. But if God's put a dream inside of you, you can. Come on. Are you going to win for Him or are you going to lose? If you're going to win, if you're going to gain what God has for you, you've got to become tough-skinned, single-minded toward the goal, and Lord, I refuse to give up. I refuse to quit. And if I'm climbing the mountain and that gets blocked, I'm going to climb back down the mountain. I'm going to find another path, because I'm going to get to the top. I'm going to hit the summit, God, because You put that inside of me. I refuse. God, my destiny is in You. My dreams and my hopes are in You. So I refuse to be a quitter. Come on. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the hope that You put inside of us. I thank You for the dreams, Lord. I thank You for delineate the paths that we should walk down. And Your Word delineates those paths, Lord. And I thank You, Lord, that it's even You that puts Your will in us to do what You want us to do. So where I've set my will aside, God, and I haven't been pursuing what You put in my heart to pursue, I ask You to forgive me. Lord, right now, I just ask You to forgive me. And I'm going to quit using anything for an excuse. And I'm going to pick up the baton and follow Your voice again. I thank You, Lord. Lord, even in this church, I feel like we've been surviving. That's not Your will. Your will is to thrive. Because there's a whole world out there that needs you. So, Lord, I thank you. We're picking the baton up again, Father. We're moving forward again, Lord. No matter what anybody tells us, Lord, we believe that you are here to push us forward. So, Father, I ask you over everybody that's listening, whether they're here in the building, whether they're listening online, I ask you, God, to remind them of the dream. Remind them of the goal. God, speak to them about a pathway, Lord, and then give them the gumption to get off of their rear and begin to pursue with tenacity. And Lord, we'll give you all of the praise and all of the glory for everything that you've said and everything you do. Because Lord, you are our hope. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.